will be with you.
Yes.
So see, no matter what we walk through, what we're asked to face, who we're asked to stand in front of, who God puts in our path, God says, look, I'm with you. Now, when you've got the creator of the universe, I don't know about you guys. I was a big fan of WWE wrestling growing up. And I will admit, I still like to watch it some. I loved The Rock and Stone Cold and all of those guys. I loved all of it. And I loved when they would have those tag team matches. And, you know, they would act around when they'd slap each other's hand and the other guy'd step over the ropes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, really that's how life is like for us, is that we're in this wrestling match, this tag team wrestling match. And God says, hey, you go out and do your thing and don't worry. I'm right here, right? I'm behind you. I've got your back. It doesn't matter what you face. Because God says, I am with you. And I know that there's all of this darkness and things that we face in life. And I feel like God's telling us, look, I'm with you, right? I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I want to read one more, and then I promise I'll be done. I'm Southern, so when we start having church, we just go, right? Sometimes we don't eat lunch in the South until like 3:40 on a Sunday afternoon. You know what I mean? I keep looking for hand signals and red lights and, you know, throat cutting signal. Yeah, thumbs up. So we'll keep going, right? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, he starts off this way. And again, I know this is a scripture that we've all heard and we've all read and we've probably all had it read to us, had to memorize it. But he starts off this way. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as the flowers of the field. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and then they're thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do we have such little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And verse 34 says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And I make this statement a lot, and I don't want it to be misunderstood what I'm saying when I say this. Every word in this Bible is true, right? Every word from the beginning of Genesis to the very last word in Revelation, even your concordance has more truth than our news stations do, right? This Bible is true, every bit of it. But I've heard people like to argue what people really meant by the words in the Old Testament, right? Which is fine. If you do whatever you want to do, right? I've heard people argue the letters of Paul. Well, maybe he really meant this. Maybe he really didn't mean that. Maybe he meant this. But I will say this. These words that are written in red, there's no arguing those. There's no arguing them. So when Jesus says something, That is God on earth speaking to us, right? And I want to finish by saying this. Jesus says for us to not worry, right? Don't be in fear. We have this great hope, right? And our great hope is in Jesus. That no matter what we face today, tomorrow, next week, when we get into our late stages of life, that Jesus is, he's still the answer. And the answer will never change. Right? Everybody cool this morning? We all good this morning? I'm going to stop because I'll go to lunch. Because I love talking about Jesus. And I love talking about the Bible. Because the Bible says that everything else in the world is wood, hay, and stubble, but the Word of God remains, right? Yes. And I know there's some of you guys in here that are facing hard times. I mean, all of us in some, at some point, at some something, at some turn, we're all facing stuff. And your stuff may be different than my stuff. But again, I'll reiterate that the answer to our stuff is still the same. Right? It's still always Jesus. Lord, again, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for who you are and who you are to us. Lord, for those that are here that have been struck by worry, God, Lord, I pray peace into their lives, Father God. Lord, whatever it is, wherever worry has set up camp, Lord, whether it be in finances, in bank accounts, in health, Lord, with children, with spouses, with family, with whatever it may be, Lord, Lord, we pray peace into those situations. Lord, we pray your healing touch into those that need it. Lord, for wombs, Lord, I call wombs to open in your name, Father God. Lord, I pray for all sickness and disease that your word says that it does not belong inside of us. So Lord, for those that are facing sicknesses and diseases, Lord, I pray your healing power come upon them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Father God. Lord, your word says that healing is the children's bread. So Lord, now we sit and we partake of that, Father God. Lord, for those that are far from you, that don't know they're searching for you, Lord, we ask that their eyes and their ears be open to your spirit and to who you are. Lord, we pray for our leaders and for our country, Father God. Lord, we ask that you would give them direction. Lord, we pray your protection over us as your followers. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we believe in you, we trust you. We put all our total, unadulterated faith into you, Father God. Lead us, guide us, direct us. We love you and we honor you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Why don't we all stand and sing this wonderful song? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Won't you open the eyes of my heart? I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high. See you high and lifted up. Shining. Pour
From you are all things. Surrounds me. Yes, you bring beauty from ashes. Yes, you bring beauty from ashes. You bring joy in the morning. Yeah. You bring joy in the morning.
Y'all know that I love, my heart is worship. So this morning I'm going to talk to you about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And so that's what we're doing this morning is, even though it doesn't look like a normal service, we're coming to stand in awe of who God is and His majesty and His power. And so in Genesis, we see that God creates all living and breathing creatures. But at the end, He formed man and woman. As if His creation wasn't already perfect, He added to it. You see, creation was set into motion to worship the one who created all things. All throughout the Bible, we read examples of God calling us to many things: obedience, repentance, intimacy, and purity. There are always moments of pulling us back to a place of oneness and connection. Our connection to Him is vital. It cannot be replaced by anything else. It is unique. And in John chapter 4, Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman and says, Jesus said to the woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem you will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we know, for the salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to Him, "I know the Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He. So the truth by which we worship is God's word and who He says He is. Just as Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman about true worshipers, it means we connect the truth of who God is, His word, His power, majesty, and greatness. A worship pastor named Jimmy Needham said the connection between head and heart gives us the opportunity to connect the truth we already know to the heart during worship. And in John chapter 14, starting verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." And in verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, He, it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And Judas said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. God gave us the Spirit to dwell in us, to teach, to be a remembrance of all of what God has taught, and to be our helper. So you see, when we worship God in the physical, we worship him out of a place of truth, knowing who he is, remembrance of his awe, his majesty, and all that he has and will do for us, and knowing that he is our helper of whatever we need. So the task has been set before you to worship God in spirit and in truth. For worship is not only what we do on Sunday mornings, but an everyday act of obedience, connection, and oneness to our Creator. So, Father, we come to you today. We thank you for your beauty and your majesty and your power and the Spirit that you gave, that we can be one with you, God. I prayed it before, God, but just like Adam and Eve, we are the ones who hide from you, God. We hide from you, God, and so I ask that you send your Spirit to call us out of hiding. Beckon us to you and to your heart, God. Let it start with the church. Let it start with your people to call us out of hiding, to rise up so that we may be a light to the world that calls the world out of hiding. We are thankful for your beauty and your majesty and your love and your perseverance and your guidance, God, and even your judgment, because it brings us back into alignment with you. It sets us on a path of righteousness and oneness and connection with you. Let us spend the rest of our time this morning in worship. Worshiping you in spirit and in truth, seeking your face, finding who you are, opening ourselves to you. May the broken be healed, the wounded be healed, God. May the things of the past be washed away. May you set our feet on a new path, a new direction, a new love, a new connection with you, God. Take us deeper, deeper than we ever have before. Thank you.
nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. And I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. Perfect royal.
Worshiping today and hearing different messages that are good. And I realized that this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Did you know what Pentecost Sunday was? It's the day that the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room upon the disciples. And I kind of got a feeling like we were there this morning, you know, just pressing into God like they must have been doing on that day of Pentecost. They were pressing into God. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They didn't know where to go. They were alone. Jesus had left. And he told them to wait. And they were waiting and they were seeking and asking God to do what they didn't know what was going to happen. And the thought came to my mind. Everybody outside of the upper room was out celebrating the giving of the law. Pentecost means the giving of the law. But the Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible. And they were celebrating the giving of the law. And these guys were in the upper room. They weren't celebrating the giving of the law. They were waiting. And God gave the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on the 120 in the upper room. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There was no longer a celebration of the law. There was a celebration of God giving his Spirit, giving them power to do the work that he called them to do. I think that's a neat thing. I think that needs to happen more often. I don't think it's just a one-time event. I think God wants that for all of us. He wants us to move in power as we work and serve out there. Yes, God loves us. Praise God. He does love us. He loves us enough to give himself to us. He gave himself for us in the dying of Christ, and then he gave himself to us for the work, for the things he's called us to. Amen. I didn't want to take Sean's time.
So we're just taking a break, and God is lining all of this up, right? We're taking a break this morning from our study in Ephesians, and we just came to a point where Chase had been reading several different things, several other different people just had this overwhelming sense of this magnitude and bigness, let's say, of who God is, but yet he knows each and every one of us, and just the hope that provides. And so we wanted to spend time this morning, and are spending time on this Pentecost Sunday to reflect on that, to think about how great is our God. It's not a question, it's not a statement, it's an exclamation. How great is our God? Isaiah 40, down in verse 9, tells us, "Go up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift up Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with the might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. He is understanding. He is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And 41:10 tells us, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In many places in Isaiah gives us this glimpse into God's greatness. He's strong as iron. He tends as a shepherd. Adjectives like enormous and wise, just these descriptions fall short when we consider his creation and his counsel. And not only that, but God invests his power into his people. We saw in verse 29, God is awesome. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, right? Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness can't hide. It trembles at his voice. Right? A name above all names. Worthy of our praise, our heart will sing. How great is our God? That would make a really good song, right? Chris Tomlin's probably already done it. The Bible says God's greatness is too wonderful for us to understand, for our heart to even be able to fathom. It's so awesome that really it's a secret that's hidden from our minds. I want to read out of Psalms 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. This is the creator of the universe. The creator of the universe. But yet you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Indeed, it's beyond knowing. His greatness is incomprehensible by our finite minds. God is limitless in all that he knows. There's nothing that he doesn't already know. He's never needed counsel. He's never lacked for wisdom. No one has ever been able to say that they gave advice to God, right? He knows the answer to every question we ask. He knows the questions we'll ask before we even ask them. Really, God is so great that he knows the questions we should have asked when we didn't ask anything. So many times we say, why? God knows. He understands even when we don't. When we can't see the end, we fill with doubts and fears, God invites us to trust him. And God is measureless in all he does. There's nothing that God can't do. He's not limited in his ability in any respect. He has no Achilles heel. He's never felt threatened. He's never gotten better because he's always been that good. Like if he built another universe, it wouldn't be a 2.0 version. Making better the first version. We may not always understand his ways, but we can be assured that he is trustworthy. God is ceaseless in all he is, right? God is good everywhere at all times. He is 100% present here and there. There's no way for God to be spread too thin. He's never taken a day off from being God. He's never needed one. He doesn't have to stop listening to my prayers in order to help with you or yours. He's never changed because he needs no change. God's greatness is untouchable. God is awesome because he is sinless and endless. Stuff in this world exists according to a timeline. Things that we buy come with warranties because they know they're eventually going to wear out, deteriorate, fall apart, break down, but not God. Things on this earth has an expiration date too, right? They go bad, they rot, they rust, they need to be renewed, not God. He is eternal. He never had a beginning and will never see an end. And his greatness is unmatchable. God is great. His position is peerless and his power is priceless. We ask ourselves, but who but God? Who but God could beautifully design the creation as we know it? Who but God could spread out the enormity of space? Who but God could set in motion the events of our life? Who but God would love sinners so much to send his only son? Who but God is beyond our limits, our measures, our understanding in every way? Who but God would use his ultimate and absolute power for the good of his people and not for his own greedy gain? And so, in responding to that, to God's greatness that we've looked at, that we've prayed over and worshiped this morning, trust him, right? We all get tired, maybe scared, overwhelmed. There is hope. Even when we feel like giving up, when ultimately we really need to be giving in. Waiting on the Lord may be one of the hardest things a person can do, but it is clearly one of the most profitable. Wait on the Lord, on his timing, on his strength, on his hand to hold you up. Praise him like we have this morning. Even before the blessings come, lift up your praise to him. You might not have what you think you need, the thing that only God can deliver. But God is good. God is great. Praise Him because He is unsearchable, because He is untouchable, because He is unmatched. Praise Him for His power, for His love, His holiness. I just call us as a church to praise Him today, to praise Him now. I wanted to end with just some words of praise. I am not a singer. But I want you, if we've got that verse on the screen, I just want you to sing. To sing with me. Name above all names, worthy of our praise, my heart will sing. How great is our God, how great is our God, our God. Sing me. One more time. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we go into a time of communion, God, I just pray that You would meet us right where we are. God, speak to us through Your Spirit, that Spirit that came on this place in Pentecost is here with us now. And so, God, as we cry out to You, as we worship You, as we just reflect as much as our finite minds can do, reflect on Your greatness. God, You are good. You are good. And You pour out Your love and Your mercy and Your grace on us each and every day. And God, I just pray that as a church, as a faith family, that we would see that each and every day. God, allow us to come to remember Your body and Your blood that was shed in this time. We pray these things in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Just invite you to come and take communion this morning.